KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have cloudy skies. Temperatures holding steady at 28 degrees. We look for mostly cloudy skies with snow developing later this afternoon, a high of 34. Already southwest Nebraska is seeing snow and some slippery road conditions. That's what's heading our way. Well, the Atlantic City Council on Wednesday updated the comprehensive plan and voted on adopting that plan. And they heard prior to their vote during a public hearing from Susie Pellett of Atlantic.
In previous times when we've done comprehensive plans, they've sought significant input from the public. And I know when they announced that they were going to conduct the city plan, it's a great idea to update those city comprehensive plans. They talked about having community meetings and focus groups. And in the past, they've had, you know, they talked about, you know, whether it's recreation, development, housing, things like that. They've had various meeting times that people could come and give their input. And I guess I was looking for those meetings and maybe I missed them, but I was just wondering, you know, what input did people have in the process?
She then asked if those meetings were advertised so the public was aware. Alexis Fleener with SWPCO, the Southwest Iowa Planning Council, said there were focus group and related meetings.
We sent invitations out. We seeked input from the city of who, you know, different groups that should come to those meetings. And so we sent emails out to different organizations and groups.
Fleener then mentioned a community survey that was set out seeking public input, as we mentioned. She said those are included in the plan, which is a public document available for review. A copy of the comprehensive plan is available on the City of Atlantic website at www.atlanticiowa.com/Atlantic or under a PDF link under this same story on our news page at KJAN.com. Now, the city's comprehensive plan was last updated in December of 2002. SWPCO updated the plan recently, and it was tweaked by the Planning and Zoning Commission and then recommended to the full council for approval, which they did last night. Councilman Chris Jimerson suggested portions of the plan be reviewed and updated annually instead of the normal every 10 years.
Out of the public input, out of the surveys, out of talking to different groups, there's definitely key, you know, topic areas that people are concerned about and people want to talk about. So, you know, housing is a big one. So, you know, doing kind of more an in-depth, you know, study on the housing that, I mean, the comprehensive plan, you can't go too deep into one specific area.
In other news, the Atlantic City Council approved by a vote of 5-1 adopting a reservation fee schedule for the city park facilities. Councilman Jimerson was the lone no vote. The fees would be waived for city official sponsored and partnered events. Under the fee schedule, the reservations for the city shelters will be $20 from 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. and from 3 p.m. to 9 p.m. or a full day for $35. Picnic tables will be rented out in the same fashion as shelter reservations. The cost for 6 tables is $20, 12 tables for $35. The tables will be picked up and returned by the renter, and without a reservation, the shelters are available on a first-come, first-served basis. And the council last night approved a resolution obligating funds from the Whitney TIF or Tax Increment Financing Urban Renewal Area Fund for annual appropriation payment. That is with regard to the council-approved TIF agreement with the Whitney Group for improvements to the Whitney Inn back in 2016. This is the first year the city is eligible to capture the taxes paid by the Whitney Group using a TIF. Afterward, they will be an annual feature on the council's agenda until the $750,000 maximum is paid off or 20 years expire, whichever comes first. Red Oak police said yesterday one person was severely injured during an altercation that took place Tuesday night. Police received a report around 8:25 p.m. of a male, 56-year-old Randall James Ellerton, was assaulted in the 900 block of East Reed Street in Red Oak. Upon arrival and investigation, authorities determined Ellerton had been extensively injured from an altercation that occurred at an earlier time. Red Oak Fire and Rescue began treatment of Ellerton, who was later transported by helicopter to a hospital in Omaha for treatment of serious injuries. Authorities say evidence and an investigation led them to believe that this was a targeted and isolated incident and there was no threat to the community or the public. The investigation continues, however, and authorities say the only information released was being provided at this time, the one we brought to you yesterday and today. Additional details will be released when it becomes available. Now, several agencies assisted Red Oak Police with the incident investigation, including the Montgomery County Sheriff's Office and K-9 Unit, Red Oak Fire and Rescue, Montgomery County Emergency Management, Iowa DCI, and the DCI's Crime Scene Unit, along with the Iowa State Patrol. Man serving time in a Pottawatomie County Jail for violation of a no-contact order was served Tuesday afternoon with a separate warrant for a similar violation. Authorities said Wednesday that 54-year-old Ronald Wayne Smith of Council Bluffs was presented with warrant and then returned to his jail cell. Smith was being held on a $2,000 bond on one warrant and without bond on the other warrant. A man and woman were arrested for domestic assault with injury early Tuesday morning in Pottawatomie County. Authorities say a deputy was dispatched to 26551 Magnolia Road at around 6:30 a.m. for an assault report. And while en route, the deputy dispatched, or rather advised, that a male and female had been in a disturbance inside a vehicle. The female, 45-year-old Teresi Owens of Detroit, Michigan, had pepper sprayed 55-year-old Jimmy Blackwell of Southfield, Michigan, and the pair was outside the vehicle at the time of the dispatch report. An investigation resulted in their arrests. Both subjects suffered minor injuries during the incident. They were being held without bond in the Pott County Jail. A Council Bluffs man serving time in the Pott County Jail for probation violation was served Tuesday with a warrant for the same offense. 24-year-old Tyler Woodruff was returned to his cell after being read the warrant. He was being held without bond on one of the felony offenses and on $5,000 bond for the other. While another inmate at the jail, 39-year-old Brian Allen Reed of Council Bluffs, was served with a felony warrant Tuesday for assault causing serious injury, the bond for which is $5,000. Reed was being held in the jail on original charge of probation violation at the time that he was served the warrant. A man who attacked a sheriff's deputy during an escape in eastern Nebraska has been given up to 113 years in prison. Saunders County, Nebraska District Court records say 38-year-old Eric Scott was sentenced Wednesday. He pleaded no contest to charges of escape, assault on an officer, theft, and use of a weapon. Officials say Scott was being driven to court in Fremont, Nebraska on September 20th of last year by a Dodge County sheriff's deputy in an unmarked government car when he slipped his handcuffs and used his leg iron chain to choke the deputy. Scott gained control of the car in Saunders County and forced out the deputy. He was arrested the next day after being found walking near the Pottawatomie County Sheriff's Office in Council Bluffs. The Parent as Teachers program through Cass County Public Health is celebrating National Parents as Teachers Day today. PAT is a free program for Cass County families with children ages 0 to 5, which provides home visits to help young children grow up healthy, safe, and ready to learn. The PAT educators help to connect community partners with parents to prepare children for kindergarten and beyond. Nancy Gibson, Parents as Teachers Coordinator, said they've been in Cass County since 1998 and are a credentialed, evidence-based program. Gibson said during the 20 years of service to Cass County, they've had the opportunity to serve 450 families and around 700 children. The Parents as Teachers program currently has two different educators who provide monthly home visits to families with young children. During those visits, they work on getting a complete health history, doing developmental screenings to catch any delays as early as possible, check on immunizations, and much more. Children in the program also have access to free vision, hearing, and dental checks. The PAT program is partially funded by a grant from Boost for Families. They currently have limited openings, and parents who are interested in the program can contact Nancy Gibson at 712-243-7475. Referrals are also welcome, so if you know of a family that could benefit from participating in that program, you are encouraged to call that same number. Forecasters say wide sections of Iowa may get a one-two punch of snowstorms over the next couple of days. Meteorologist Rod Donovan, the National Weather Service in Johnston, says if you haven't already dug out the snowblower or snow shovel, it's time to do so.
The best chance is Thursday, especially Thursday afternoon, will be moving into southern Iowa late in the day and then spreading across generally the southeast half of the state Thursday night. Certainly we are expecting the potential for some accumulations of 1 to 2 inches through that region.
A second storm will follow closely behind the first on Friday, which Donovan says has the potential to be more vigorous, dropping snow across central and portions of northern Iowa.
This event actually does have the potential for 1 to 3 inches across portions of that area. In addition, with that system, we could have some gusty winds in excess of 30 miles per hour. So certainly that could cause some travel hazards during the day Friday. Also, we are looking at wind chills Friday night that could approach zero.
And some parts of the state, including the Interstate 80 and Highway 30 corridors, may get snowfall from both storms. Another warning, Donovan expects temperatures to dip much chillier than normal, and anyone heading out will need to break out their heavy winter coats, hats, scarves, and gloves.
As they are expecting to remain quite cold, we do have a pretty cold, I mean, as cold as it's going to be this weekend of the weekend, it could be even colder Monday and Tuesday, where it's an outside chance that our highs don't get above 30 degrees.
Normal high temperatures for this time of year are in the 50s. That's a check of the news on KJAN. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.